This is CLWA3 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The NAWC. For over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment. The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
American Dream.
Well, my gorilla's a little bit more than just an ordinary gorilla. He's a bad gorilla, and there's something inside him that might be a little bit human. So it's going to be a big surprise in the Omni. The Koloff, Nikita, and Ivan Koloff World titles against Dustin Rhodes, the American Dream, and a full-blooded American gorilla, brother, and there will be gorilla shit all over the Omni. I got that stuff.
That's all I need, more to mop up in the office.
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you'll have to pardon me a moment while I put the mop away and break out the great big accordion files as you have reached the legal edition of the North American Wrestling Connection. I am your local attorney, Nikki Heyman. And apparently, representing the defense, seems to be my only cohort in crime this evening, Mr. Jim Williams.
I always picture myself as the Kurt Chaplin or Doug Llewellyn of the courtroom, the guy afterwards who interviews the plaintiff and the defendant after the case, but okay.
And I think I just found this hurt. I'm allowed to speak, so step forward, Judge Joe Brown, I mean Carl Chenier.
Yeah, you get this and you get that. Oh, hi. Good evening.
Good evening, Carl, and thank you for jumping in, because I think this one's on me, guys. I did not post my requests for people until late yesterday. I was hoping to have Amy Storm on tonight for an IPW update.
Let me grab you another person real quick.
Sure thing, Carl. I appreciate it. Let's see. Why are you digging somebody up? I'm going to say that I could probably get people in here faster than TNA could with lockdown. Now, I've heard a wild fluctuation of numbers, but I think the comfortable number I'm hearing is between 4 grand and 4,500 in attendance. And it gives a new meaning to pay-per-view.
Ah.
But since I didn't see the pay-per-view myself, I also did not go, despite the fact that it was only 2 hours away. I had better things to do on Sunday, like recovering from my long drive back from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And spending an evening with Legends, having the chance to shake hands with the Rock and Roll Express, with the Midnight Express, getting a hug from Corey, getting a handshake from Sonny, getting into some deep philosophical conversation with Shane Douglas. And not getting a number from anywhere in the locker room area. Hopefully I will be returning to work for them in late May or somewhere in June. Chuck, if you're listening, please. I didn't even get to take my gear out of the car this time. But that's neither here nor there. Despite the poor attendance, TNA still seems to have gotten a few people's attention. Or maybe I should just point at Kurt Angle.
All right, I got someone, Nikki. He's on his way.
All righty, I appreciate it, Carl. Dorcas decided to pull out all the stops and do a few things that he probably hasn't done in close to 10 years, which would include a moonsault off the top of the lockdown cage. And And what was it, a Frankensteiner power bomb reverse? Regardless, he bounced off his surgically repaired neck. I finally saw the footage of that, and Ugh.
Ouch.
Kurt, your neck. Remember? We got a Canadian over there that was wondering, you know, why in the world you would be doing something like that. There's no reason for you to be doing crazy stuff like
that.
That
would be stupid.
Yes, it would.
That would be. Mm-hmm.
So, I know I'm not the only one who was protesting. So, Jim, do you think Kurt kind of overdid it?
Yeah, there's no point in, you know, overdoing it at this stage of the game, especially if he claims he wants to keep wrestling for a few more years. You're trying to shave off a few years of your wrestling career doing those kind of moves. Maybe 10 years ago he could do it just fine, but after, again, the neck problems, ill-advised at best. I very reckless to me, very reckless.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, let's get a extra opinion here from deep in the heart, Texas, Mr. Typo. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody. I assume from the little bit I heard there, you're talking about Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle kind of overdoing it in his lockdown match with Jeff Jarrett, and the fact that, despite the fact he almost killed himself twice, it was Jeff Jarrett that walked out with bad ribs.
I'm thinking at this point, Kurt Angle might just be indestructible.
Or has had his bell rung enough times that he probably thinks that.
That sounds about right.
He's the kind of guy, though, that if you put him in those kind of matches, he's going to go all out no matter. But in his mind, he can do it. Whether anyone else says he can or not, if he thinks he can do it, he will, and he's going to. So until he can't do that anymore, he's going to keep doing it.
Well, I just, you know, after seeing the, you know, after going through all this with Edge's retirement, it just kind of sticks out a little bit. I don't want to see Kurt Angle hauled out on a stretcher. I don't want to see anybody hauled out on a stretcher. And unfortunately, it seems that TNA is bound and determined to get somebody to that point. Or at least that's the accusation. I'm going to, if I may, do a little bit of a segue here.
Sure.
Because we've got some word floating around. I don't have, I have a little bit of info. Regarding the fact that Daphne Unger, real name Shannon Spiroli, has decided to take legal action against TNA in her workers' comp. The fact that she's worked hurt, that she has put herself at greater than normal risk, and then either can't. Why not, or has actually made her pay some of these medical bills out of pocket, where a lot of the male wrestlers don't seem to have that problem, and she might not be alone in her lawsuit. Do I have any new names? Probably not. But just like any other wrestling company, the fact that she felt that she was being pressured into working hurt, which we saw with Kennedy with his concussion, we've seen with a couple of other performers. But she's an independent contractor. I'm not a lawyer, guys. Do you think she's got a chance?
Interesting question.
It's a slippery slope and a half. I mean, it goes back to the age-old question, should these folks who put their lives on the line for 250, 300 days out of the year, should they unionize or not? One of the specific references in the article, in the pending suit, if you will, the pending legal action, goes back to 2009 when she did a bump through a barbed wire table. She was assured by Terry Taylor she would be fine, that she would be taken care of after a lot of convincing from both Taylor and Vince Russo, saying, oh, this spot was so important for the feud. Daphne did the deed. She got injured. She was treated at the hospital, taken by ambulance. Spike wouldn't let TNA air the spot on Impact, so it didn't make any sense.
Hey, you're right, it didn't make any sense.
On top of this, they did not pay the hospital bill immediately.
Right.
Claiming if they held out that they wouldn't have to pay as much. Eventually, they kind of washed their hands of it, and it ended up in Daphne's lap. That's not fair.
Yeah, they turned around and claimed they weren't responsible for the bill. Daphne would have to be the one paying the bill and what have you. You feel for her. I feel for her, really. I mean, this is just do I think her case has a chance? Honestly, no. And I hope I'm wrong.
I want you to be wrong, too, because, you know, she's not contesting her work status, per se.
Mm-hmm.
She's not saying, I'm an independent contractor. She's stepping up and saying, hey, they put me, you know, independent contractor or not, they put me in a situation that could have cost me more than just my career. The fact
mm-hmm.
that they made her with the concussion during the period, during that horrible, horrible angle they were doing with Ken Anderson and his
right.
concussion. Okay, values dissonance, anyone? Anybody else seeing something wrong with this picture? She's contended that when she got hurt working with Angelina Love, she went to Taylor and said, look, I can't, you know, I know you've got matches set up for me in the rest of the tapings, not with this concussion I'm not. Well, she offered to go ahead and still do the photo shoot they had lined up for her, and they pulled her from that. Now, funny, I think, you know, I think I could have my picture taken with a little blurred vision. I don't know about anybody else. Coincidence? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Then, let's see, after her debacle with Rosie Lottelove, she got hurt working with a very, very green individual, which resulted in a cold shoulder from Bubba when TNA decided that they didn't want to use her, and Bubba blamed Daphne for it. Then TNA wouldn't pay her hospital bills from that injury. So, but there's, you know, there's a few, there's hope, there's some hope that a few more people are going to step up and pretty much back Daphne on this one. She is obviously no longer with TNA, but since I think she actually put the whole case together before they let her go. I think she was still under contract when she got this started.
Hmm.
Where's Conan when you need him?
Triple A. Yes.
I think she, to be honest, I think she should get him on the horn and say, hey, what did you say? What did you use to get them to help you out? And I don't think I have anything appropriate. No, I don't think I have anything.
I think Conan's main defense, outside of him claiming racism, was that they apparently paid for Scott Steiner's surgery he had while he was in Puerto Rico when he got his throat crushed.
Right.
Apparently
that
was something. I think that was Conan's main gripe, because they covered that, but they wouldn't cover his hip or whatever, the hip replacement that he had.
I believe
so. Yeah, that
so.
Was it. Here, I got a sound.
Derp.
Mm-hmm. Derpy derp.
Derp to derp. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Long story. Anyway.
No, that's all right. I think I've got another show on set.
Yeah, thank you.
That does suck.
So, you know, I've got my fingers crossed for you, Daff. If you can get this to work, more power to you, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there are already too many stories out there. The fact that the gals are not paid very well, and if they're not getting paid well and they're getting treated like dirt, yet for a stretch they were actually drawing better ratings than the guys. Though granted, the knockouts division is now the beautiful people division. I can understand why a few, more or less, I can understand why a few people aren't watching them anymore.
I mean, it ultimately comes down to, like you're saying, will people back Daphne? If she gets a contingent of two or three, at least, others who were with her at the same time, and, you know, preferably fellow knockouts, quite frankly, then she's got a shot. But I just don't see that happening for whatever reason. And again, I hope to God I'm wrong.
I don't know if there's anybody currently in TNA,
right,
in TNA, it's not out division, that will step up for her. The article that I'm looking at, granted it's from K-Type Seats, but has been verified in a couple of different directions that early, a knockout from the early years, some Kim Nielsen, a.k.a. Desire, had a serious back injury. And I don't think they had helped her out about it. And she feels that TNA as a whole pretty much gave her a cold shoulder. And that every time she's spoken to Jeff Jarrett, which has only been twice since about 2005, it's only been two words, and she wouldn't elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that John Morrison worked in the TNA office.
Oh, that's wrong.
Yes.
That's all right.
Well, I can just swing over to some good things. I think I'm going to say thank you for the segue, Typho. Well, with the Fed over in London, it feels, you know, I've noticed that there's two little panics that have gone on in WWE. Somebody got cold feet about putting R-Truth WWE title match, rightfully so, because it's kind of out of nowhere. So they decided to kickstart Morrison and maybe freshen up R-Truth's character in the process by having him turn heel, half-heartedly beat the crap out of Morrison and light up a cigarette in a no-smoking building. And kudos to wherever that woman was that was yelling, "Pick up the children!"
Yes.
And also point to the crowd for the "That's Illegal" chant when it first went up.
British audiences get it, enough said.
They do. And
pretty
they
much.
They were having more fun in the Orton Punk match, where they were, you know, where you had one side of the room chanting RKO, the other side of the room chanting GTS or Randy Orton, CM Punk. And a couple people might have seen this on my Facebook, but I think I've made a term for this, the Cena line.
Yes. Trademark it.
I think I will. The Cena line is essentially the fact that the Cena fan base is split evenly. On one side is all the "Oh my God" chicks and the kids, and on the other side are the guys and anybody else who gets it.
All of us, yes.
Yes. We're on the Cena sucks side of the line.
Mm-hmm.
And all the fans who are the left Cena side of it. This line divides the Randy Orton and CM Punk fans, apparently. All the Let's Go Cena fans are on the Orton side, and all the Cena Sucks fans are on Punk's side. If you listen
not
to
coincidental
those chants,
at all.
No.
Oh, no.
But if you listen to those chants, it's just, you know, it made me laugh. It really did. So
I'm sure you appreciate it.
Well, to this, I'm going to say that the London fans did something that I thought I could never do, and that was enjoy a radio.
Well, considering how often do they go over there, once a year, they got to enjoy whatever's being thrown at them.
Whether it's silly comedy, a nonsensical heel turn, paper bags.
And cigarettes.
You name it.
Mm-hmm. Next
now,
time, they should give them a Great Khali gauntlet match and see if they like it.
Good luck, man. That would be pushing their luck. I'd be amused, though.
Mm-hmm.
One by one, the Great Khali just pins everybody on the roster until Cena comes out and squashes him.
Replace Cena with Zack Ryder, you might have something.
Woo, woo, woo.
How many Ryder spins did we see, by the way? I saw at least three. One was confiscated. Although I think it came back because I saw it in the crowd during SmackDown.
The ratings one?
That one... So there was a fan on Twitter claimed that it was confiscated, but either somebody made a new one or it was given back because it was in the SmackDown crowd, far camera left.
Mm.
They had that one. Somebody else had a Zack Ryder woo-woo sign pretty much dead center during
mm-hmm.
SmackDown, and I popped up at least three times. So Zack must be doing something with me. He has fans outside of WrestleCrab.
Well, I mean, his YouTube thing is off the hook. I mean, the previous episode, episode 9, got over 100,000 views in less than a week, so.
More views than NXT and Superstars combined.
Yes.
Very good. And very unfortunate and surprisingly very true.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that's something else I need to put on my calendar. I really need to watch these shows. I have yet to hear a bad thing about them. The fact that the wrestlers dig them just as much as the fans do means somebody needs to do something about getting Zack's butt on TV, which leads me to panic button number 2 from WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Out of nowhere, an announcement was made Monday that there will be a draft next week. This was something that was being posted that was probably going to be held at its usual time during the summer, where they had a couple of 3-hour shows lined up. The speculation.
Very panic mode.
Well, yeah, panic mode brought about by the sudden retirement of their SmackDown's top babyface. So, a little later on in the show, you know, I'd like you guys to go ahead and start thinking. Think about some particular moves and what they're going to do with people just to get everything shuffled around and get the shows put in order. And I hope before you say it, no, they're not going to rate down again. I hope. Let's see, what other silliness I want to go on here. Ah, yes. I wanted to get back in the legal file. The draft stuff's going to be fun, so it's fun for later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So my next stop is going to be up northeast, where Nick Gage has pleaded guilty to his bank robbery because he was an idiot and forgot to wear his mask the one time he probably really needed it.
Yeah.
It's my understanding is since, let's see, Seidelman gave me the info second-degree robbery, which can carry a 10 to 20-year sentence, although he might have pled guilty to, hopefully, a plea deal.
That's possible, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think cutting a promo on it.
They could probably knock off a few years of a sentence. I think serving in CZW is enough of a prison sentence.
Oh,
jeez. Mm-hmm.
He was faking his bones were breaking.
Yeah.
Don't make me stick Sammy on you. No, Sammy would laugh. Oh, Sammy Callahan would laugh. He might agree with you, which would put me in a bad spot. Somebody who is trying to keep himself in a good spot, as the saga of Jeff Hardy continues, pun fully intended.
And goes on and on and on and on and on, yeah.
Yet another continuance. And see if I can find my... I apologize for not being fully prepared on this one.
No one expected him in court that day. It's a holiday for him.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Even Rob Van Dam took a vacation from his own radio show on 420.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say,
I didn't know which one. All right. Well, according to the story, a Ministry for the Sentencing Services program has become involved in Hardy's case recently, and he, quote-unquote, needs time to assess whether he needs drug dependency therapy, get another opinion from an expert, and recommend a treatment plan. The hearing now set for June 27th. And some of the comments on the Baltimore Sun website said it best. This Jeff Hardy mess is worse than a Vince Russo booking. And it is. Just, you know, get it over with. Throw the book at him. Come on.
Now, I've got a little more info on this, that they're going to, that they've done an initial review, and they're listing Jeff Hardy as borderline for rehab.
Mm.
And how somebody can say that with a straight face is beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
Does someone need to send them the tape from Victory Road?
I mean, and the problem is that, you know, you send them that, they're gonna throw it out for lots of the show. Personally, I'm to the point now that I think if there's any way they can do it, I think they should just have Jeff do both. But put him behind bars for a year, and while he's there, put him in rehab. That way,
two birds, one stone.
Yeah, he can't skip out, he can't go home, he can't go somewhere else and hide, he can't go beg for mercy, he can't do anything like that. They put him in aggressive rehab. And pretty much use jail to beat some sense into him. Now, granted, even the best jails still manage to have a little bit of drug traffic, but at least they know, you know, they could probably hide Jeff in the right part of the building to keep him from getting a hold of anything.
Well, it doesn't take much to traffic it. My cousin works as an administrator of medicine, works in the pharmacy area of a prison in my hometown, and she can attest, yeah, the drug trafficking happens at a more fervent pace than you might imagine, even inside the confines of jail. So it may not be the ultimate answer for him, but, you know, at least it gets him off TV. So got that going for you.
Let's see. I think I just lost Carl.
Yeah, he popped off.
You know, his TNA world title still exists.
Oh.
Matt wore it last night.
Not exactly a good way to endear yourself with the company, Matt, knowing that your brother is this close to being, you know, he's not going into the pokey, he's going to be stuck in recap. I just really think that TNA needs to wash their hands of him and just be done with it.
Just a bit, yeah.
Well, there you are.
Yeah, I got cut off.
Okay. So, I mean, they were able to walk away from Scott Hall. They could be able to walk away from Jeff Hardy. Realize that there's a difference in money and merch coming from these two guys, but
the Scott Hall thing is a whole other mess right now.
It is, and I haven't had a chance to read any updates, so I'm hoping he's still with us.
As far as I know, he is.
Okay. He was checked into a hospital just a couple of days ago, and his wife has been pretty much blowing up Twitter, looking for help.
Calling his old friends on and everything, yeah.
Yeah. I understand Waltman was getting a little frustrated about it. I think Nash did go see him. Trying to find my notes on that now.
I mean, it's...
He spent a night in the hospital with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here we go. Everyone prayed that he was through the night, which did. He went in on Wednesday. Get some more info here. Trying to find the other tweet.
The whole situation, and maybe this is going to be wrong of me to say, I find it tough to feel compassionate for Scott Hall. I find it incredibly tough to be compassionate for him. He's been offered help so many times, and he just can't get through it. He can't clean himself up to literally, at this point, sadly, save his life. And that's sad.
It's hard. It really is. Obviously, I don't know the man. I do know that he used to live in an area where a close family friend of mine lives. And he told me a story that bumped into him inadvertently at 7-Eleven where he was buying, I think it was gum, lemon juice, and something else, probably something to help him clear a piss test.
Mm-hmm.
So this man has actually colored a friend's opinion of wrestling in general. He actually thinks that all wrestlers are like this, and thank God they're not.
Exactly.
But it's tough. It's really tough. He's somebody that needs help. He's been offered help. He won't accept help. And now he's back in the bed trying to... He's late.
By 3 minutes? 4 minutes?
But the anonymous general manager says, no use crying over a man who can't be helped. At least Nash has been looking over his shoulder.
How do we know it's a he? Just saying.
I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm just going to do him the favor and swing our way over to commercial as we are part of CLWJD's network.
Yes, just tell the one with the orange face. I like her better.
Cuba noodles. Chris likes Cuba noodles.
Yeah, you're a good little girl. Yeah, sound bite.
Good girl.
Sound bite.
If you don't cut that up for what's that, we'll cut your ass, alright?
You got a little bit close to her mouth there, didn't you, Mike? You gotta be careful. You can be affectionate as you want to a cat, and they'll appreciate it, but you touch that one wrong spot, you're screwed.
The BS Big Show Season 3 debut, coming May 11th on the CLWA3 Network.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, one in 110 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 600% increase in the last 20 years. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
This is the Iron Sheik. Fuck you. Make you humble. Listen to CLW83 Network. Or I put you in the camel clutch. Fuck you, Hulk Hogan. Fuck you. This fucking bullshit. Don't fuck with Hulk Hogan. Fuck with CLW83 Network on blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, this is Carl Chenier of the BS Big Show, and you're listening to the CLWA3 Network.
Ho, ho, ho!
We wish you love.
Damn!
And ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the North American Wrestling Connection, and it looks like my switchboard has lit up a bit. Oh, I've got a new person stepping in.
Hello?
Hello, is that Mr.
This will be Mr. 502 himself, yes.
Oh, shut up.
They can't, even though they're, yeah. I can move, hold on just a second.
Nope.
No, I'm not, yeah, never mind. Anyway. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Better, yes, no?
A little bit.
Okay, I'm stepping into the back of the store where nobody's really doing anything, so. Yeah, it's me, Mr. 502, making my rare appearance on the NAWC.
So, welcome to the show, my friend. And Carl, you said Tabitha?
I'm
sorry,
what? Oh, yeah.
Get me out, Tyler, you tag in.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie, sir. I'll still listen, though.
All right, cool. All
right. Okay. Kyle, didn't think you were going to bring friends.
Say what?
Hold
on, I might have to sit outside. It's actually quieter out there.
Okay.
Because I can't hear myself think at this moment. Oh. Yeah, let me tell you, okay.
This portion of Tyler not knowing where he's going until he gets to a quiet place in his inner sanctuary is brought to you by WWE All-Stars, the video game. Or actually just screenshot on JR's barbecue. Oh, my God.
All right. So, yes, just wanted to give you a few quick updates. I know you all haven't heard from me on the show, and it's like, it's good to be back. God damn. Anyways, as far as, I don't know if I'm in the middle of anything or interrupting anything, but as far as if anyone's understood this whole thing, where Victoria had a shop here locally, like a custom shop called Black Widow Customs, had a big opening day, all this jazz, and and as I've done my research, it was not even 9 months ago that she opened that shop, and not too long ago, there was a fire back in December. Of course, it was on a nice icy day, so the firefighters had good times with that one. And the it was first vandalized, and then the shop was caught on fire. And I finally got around to finding Lisa Veron, a.k.a. Victoria/Tara's YouTube page. And I'm guessing it's either her husband or somebody within her company or whoever had responded that said basically three short words and said closed due to fire. Four, I'm sorry, I can't count. That's as far as that goes, and I don't know. There was a lot of other questions surrounding it. Like I said, the shop was first vandalized, then all of a sudden it got caught on fire, so they're thinking there's a connection between that. There was another connection to it where a University of Kentucky basketball player had allegedly wanted customs work done by this shop, and I talked to Nikki not too long ago, and she was saying something along the lines of that the shop had even warned this basketball player that the alterations could possibly damage the car, and I guess the guy was too worried about having his car customized that he ended up, you know, going on with the customs. And of course, you know, when it got to the media twisted it around and made it seem like, oh, well, the Black Widow Customs is so bad. They failed to mention the part that he was told about what damages the alterations could do. But, you know, of course, that's how media goes around anywhere. You know, they're going to spin things and make people look bad. But in all, I feel really bad for Tara or Victoria or Lisa Veron or whatever you want to call her. Just because, first off, she's a Louisville, well, she's a transport from California, but I mean, she's pretty much calling Louisville home now, even though, I mean, they pretty much planted themselves in Louisville, and feel really bad for them, and I guess that's all I've got on that. Continue on with the show. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Actually, Black Widow Customs has been in business for a couple of years. I was actually at the opening. Because they had a big to do. They had a whole bunch of WWE people showed up.
Right.
They did this giant autograph session. Jimmy Yang was there. Lena Yada was there. Jesse Infestis was there. Domino was there. JTG was there. I don't know. I can't remember if Shad came too.
I think it was. Yeah, it was both members of Crime Time, Shad and JTG. Gia.
They had, you know, they had a huge autograph session. They had guys wandering around. I got to, you know, bump shoulders. Elijah Burke was there. Idol Stevens was there. Al Snow and another gentleman from OVW came up. Al Snow got to show off his custom bike. They had a couple of already done customs in the lot. They had a wonderful setup. I really think that, you know, they've got every right to say that there, you know, that there might be a connection with this, you know, with this disgruntled customer, because I can't think of anybody just randomly crashing that place. It was too nice a building. It was very well thought out. It was very well laid out.
Right.
And, I mean, Jim, Tycho, I know you guys probably don't know a whole lot about Black Widow Customs out of Louisville. It's just the fact that it's, you know, it's in Tyler's backyard, and I've been, you know, as I said, I attended the grand opening.
Mm-hmm.
This is a shame. I mean, Victoria was so excited about this. I mean, she spent the whole session running around just trying to make sure everybody was having fun.
Right.
I think she threw me out at one point.
Uh-oh.
No. It wasn't a bad thing. I forgot what I asked, you know, the whole to-do started in, you know, the early mid-afternoon. It was at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It went on until about 8 o'clock at night. And, you know, we got in. We even got a couple of extra pictures. Let me get my Picasso running real quick. I can actually give you an actual date of when it opened. Because I got some wonderful pictures of everybody posing together. At the end of the day, all the guys had gotten T-shirts. May 22nd, 2008 was opening day.
Okay. The only reason I said 9 months ago, maybe it was because of the date that it was posted, the showing was posted on YouTube. I guess somebody got around to it late posting it on YouTube. Because it wasn't on Lisa's official site. It was on, you know, I guess some fan site or fan YouTube page or whatever.
Okay. The group photo I've got here is Elijah Burke, Domino, JTG, Jesse Festus, Jimmy Wang Yang, Melina, Jillian Hall, and Leia Yada, and all posed together in the in Black Widow Customs during the afternoon. That was the other gentleman. He was a commentator for Ohio Valley, known for his barbershop quartet style mustache.
Oh, Dean something other Dean. I want to say Dean Chain is what. Dean Hill,
no,
yeah.
Dean. A couple of guys were willing to pose with people. This was a good day for me. I managed to recruit Domino, Idol Stevens, who I thoroughly enjoyed as a performer. I was just panel. Elijah Burke, Pope, you know, hopefully things are good for you in TNA. And hopefully, you know, if there's Elijah Burke, there's a little bit of the fire. You know, sorry, here. If you open the place back up, we'll all come back. Just nobody wants to customize.
Yeah, and it's honestly a shame because I went in there, and I'm not one for customs, but you know, I just went in there one day because it was, you know, Victoria's Place at the time, and it was pretty cool. I mean, they had a lot of different things on the wall, different newspaper clippings, and from English and some Spanish magazines around here, as well as an old school WrestleMania arcade game, like one of the one of the first ones that came out. And I mean, it was fun. Even if you weren't a customs person, didn't have somebody to do the customs, you could still walk around and, I mean, you know, play the WrestleMania game. Just kind of, you know, chill in that place a little bit, you know.
So. Hopefully, thing, you know, if she's, you know, she's closed for good, we understand. You know, I would love to see her open it up in another location down the road. I am going to get back to what I was planning on doing as our last segment of the show. As I mentioned, you weren't on just yet, Tyler, but I'll give you a minute to think about this. The fact that the WWE has decided to hotshot the draft to next week, it was something they were planning to do over the summer. In one of their 3-hour slots. So, Jim, I'll start with you.
Okay.
What would be a really good draft pick that we'll probably see next week?
I don't know about really good or not, but I would think it would make perfect sense to move Daniel Bryan to SmackDown. He's a wrestler. SmackDown is more the wrestling brand. It's a no-brainer to me.
You got a pick in mind?
Yeah, I think I'm willing to put my 100% guarantee on it, and I don't think it's going to be much of a shocker for anybody, but I really believe they're going to move Alberto Del Rio to Raw.
If it goes to Raw, he'll probably want to jump right into the main event scene. Wouldn't that make ADR Miz heel?
Or they could just flip the Miz on over to SmackDown.
It could happen. Tyler, any thoughts on one big pick from the draft?
Well, as far as Daniel Bryan goes, I really disagree with that, simply on the fact that he's not getting featured on Raw hardly anymore. So why, you know, he's going to end up falling by the wayside on SmackDown. So what the heck's the point anymore? I mean, Daniel Bryan, I've got this bad feeling that he's going to be one of those guys that, you know, once they get around to a point of time, that once they get around to a point of, you know, getting him out of the whole thing, he's going to end up having to go back to the indie scene because I think they've lost their faith in him.
And we'll see.
That's the other possibility, yeah.
So, but give me a draft pick, Tyler.
You know, I think they might just want to go for... My bad. I guess to take... I think it'd be interesting if they took Randy Orton over with him this match.
Getting a top face moved over to SmackDown would probably be that
show?
Radio show?
Yeah. Why, was Nikki asking to be nosy?
Yeah.
He thinks the show's boring, so he's listened to it before.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, I was talking about the manager.
Okay.
That'll work.
Yeah, whatever. No, I am off the clock, though, so I'm not, like, randomly on the show during my shift. But I guess, I don't know. My only thing is with the draft comes spring cleaning, and we all know that there's probably some names that just haven't been used that are just going to be white. But I think what they need to do is balance the two shows out. You know, you've got, I mean, they're bringing all these new people, but they're only bringing them onto Raw. So that means they're going to have to kick some people off to SmackDown. Because Raw's still, of the many shows they've got, Raw's still doing the best. Mm-hmm. So you want the people on Raw to be your flagship people, but you also want to maybe, you know, I don't see them moving Cena to SmackDown, even though that was where he started. Because not everybody gets, I guess it's, what is it, you... Sci-Fi, I think, that SmackDown's now on.
Sci-Fi,
yes. So, I mean, not everybody gets Sci-Fi. You know, not a lot of people get a lot of the higher channels. So you want to keep people on Raw who do not only draw ratings, but draw merchandise. And the number one name that pops up is Cena. So they're not going to move Cena unless they just want to literally, in the words of Vince McMahon, shake things up a bit. So... I mean, with Edge's departure, they're going to need to fill SmackDown with some major people. If you're just sending over some, you know, lower card people, that's not going to do as much of a job as filling the card. But maybe it'll get those lower to mid card people's statuses boosted because they're not getting featured as much and they're getting overshadowed by the stupid shit on Raw, a.k.a. the extreme rules between Lawler and Cole. I mean, seriously... Fuck me, silly. I'm tired of hearing about this shit.
Thank you. I thought I was the only one.
No,
Good.
I was just going to say, it's just, you know, these are supposed to be pay-per-view quality matches. And if you're going to tell me that Cole Lawler isn't enough for Raw every week, isn't enough for your biggest show of the freaking year, now you're going to put it on yet another pay-per-view? This thing just needs to do a Kurt Cobain and off itself. Excuse my French if someone doesn't like that comparison, but let that thing Kurt Cobain itself and off itself because I'm tired of it. You're using good time, and you know, I feel bad for JR because JR, you know, he's the man of the group, and he's the WWE person. He's sitting there talking on his blog about he has to step up. JR, Ross, you don't have wrestling skills. You have great skills when you're at the announce desk. You do not have fighting skills. So it makes sense that they have to put you on a pay-per-view that's called Extreme Rules because, you know, you're only going to be able to swing a few bats, you know, maybe take a few hits. But all in all, people might see this match as, you know, in the words of The Rock, oh, this guy sucks, I got to go take a piss, you know, that sort of thing going on. So it's just wasting people's time, and I'm sorry for anybody who's ended up buying that pay-per-view and having to see that match.
At least I know where my bathroom break's going to be. He took my pick. So, of course, there's tons of jokes out there that they're going to be splitting up teams and breaking up groups and whatever. With some of the dissension in the ranks with the core, if somebody's going to get moved, it might need to be Ezekiel Jackson and real quick, because they just didn't seem to be getting up to bat for the rest of the members of the core.
Nikki, what if you take a look at CM Punk's Nexus though? As far as breaking some of them up, I mean, I was watching Raw and I kind of saw that dissension between the new guy they just recruited. I'm sorry, I can't remember names very well. They're not on TV all the time.
Mason Ryan.
Mason Ryan, but you misinterpreted that.
Okay, so that dissension had purpose then, right? It wasn't
right.
Just like okay.
No. What Mason Ryan was doing was he wanted to please Master. He had to please Master. He wanted to kill Orton. And folks were like, no. This is mine. No, want to kill. Mason? Want to kill. Mason?
He wanted to Welsh teeth to bomb him straight down to hell.
Yeah. Which is sad, because for some stupid reason, a lot of people are comparing him to Batista. And in some ways, it gets the similarities. In other ways, he's nothing like it.
It's a charisma thing. It will come with time. It will come with time. And I think that at this point, I'm a sucker for the draft. I admit that I'm a sucker for the draft. I'm really looking forward to. And before we go, I'm going to need a great big favor from you. If at all possible, I need a sound from. I need a sound made. You still with us, Jim?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
I need the draft music. You know the track I mean.
The one we did last year.
If not that, what I want is the tune that they always. Scrolling through all everybody's pictures.
Oh, okay, the little jingle there. Okay, the little sound effect. Whatever that is, yeah.
Yeah, if you can get a clean copy of that, you want.
Alright, well, I'll work on it, yep.
Lucius Gracias, I try not to ask for a lot, but this I
no
do.
No problem. Mm-hmm.
Just forward all. Donations to Jim Williams at WilliamsMedia.com.
Jim, please repeat that plug for us.
No, that was Tyler, and Tyler is about 5 years off on the plug, but that's okay. No problem. I'm good. We're good.
All right. Well, I'm gonna do Carl an enormous favor, and we're actually going to shut things down just a little bit early, since this has been a very light news week. We're actually going to close the show properly.
Okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if anybody happens to be bored this weekend, I will be in Michigan for VIP Wrestling. I believe bell times at 7 o'clock. It might be a little bit of a drive for the rest of you guys, but I'll be there, and I'm going to have a whole bunch of fun. But we will be here next week. North American Wrestling Connection will always deliver. So, ladies and gentlemen, you all have a good night. Guys, good show tonight. Tyler, thank you for swinging in.
No problem. I'll just try to make sure to not hit that revolving door so hard. It hurt like hell.
No, it was good having you on, and thanks for the update on Black Widow Customs.
No problem, and I'm going to try not to get sucked away and or flooded, as we have fun things like tornado warnings, thunderstorms, and all sorts of good fun coming in this early evening, early morning,
don't
whatever.
I'm going to be swimming through a lot of that tomorrow. Carl, thanks for jumping in for the first half of the show.
Sure thing.
And again, thanks
thanks again, gentlemen, for putting up with my nonsense.
Always a pleasure.
So, I stick around, but I need to get me a little bit of sleep because I'm going to be doing all the driving tomorrow.
Have fun.
That's 4 hours to where we're going, which is Owosu, Michigan, which is about an hour northwest of Detroit. Thankfully, we're not way up past Flint or up in the UP. I've got friends up there who says there's snow on the ground. But VIP Wrestling Ahoy, you know, go ahead and take a look on the website. I'm going to brag because their poster is bragging the fact that my current client, Super Oprah, will be debuting for VIP tomorrow night. I will not be at his spot, but this will be Oprah's first show with that group.
Very nice.
It'll be my second, but I only got dark when I was up there last. So. Yay! Again? Back to work.
Indeed.
Good night.
Good night.
Peace.
Night.
CLWA3.com is your source for everything CLWA3. You can catch any of our shows on demand anytime at blogtalkradio.com/CLWA3network. Also, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and our feed on iTunes.